He is victorious. Wonderful to see you all this morning. I love how every Sunday there's just more and more people out singing with us in the congregation. So great to have you with us this morning. Today we're going to be singing a new song. It's called Great Things, and we introduced it last Sunday, but we're going to sing it again today. And I love it because it reminds us that the Lord is the one. He is great and mighty, and he has done incredible things. So let's sing this together.
Thank you.
incredible things. We just thank you for that. And we praise you this morning, Lord, as we worship you.
Holy Father, we're thankful that you're a God that calls, that you call to us, that you knock at the door of our mind, heart, and soul, and you call our name specifically. And yes, it's true, you've come to love the whole world. But we're thankful that you have knocked on our door, that you have called to us, that you have loved us specifically. And it's wonderful to be in community with those around us, sharing what you've called us to do, sharing what you've directed us to do, helping others, encouraging others as they help and encourage us. All of that happens because of your love that started all of it. You've spoken all creation into being. You've created us in your image. You've not kept us away, just the opposite. You call us to your altar. You call us to worship you in truth and in spirit. And as we worship you, we do recognize the limits of our own human ability, the limits of our knowledge, the limits of our experience, the limits of our intentionality, even the limits of our goodness. And we confess that you are an almighty God, and we are your creation, your fallen creation. We're thankful that as we confess our sins to you, that you're a great God of grace and mercy, and you forgive us. You do give us a fresh start and a new beginning, and that's just what we need. There's lots of things to pray for today. We lift them to you. Those on the front lines, those in Texas in particular, and other southern areas that are without water and power. Some are very desperate. And we ask that you would guide the resources to those in greatest need, as well as all who are in need. We've been praying a lot about leadership, and we continue to do that. Worldwide leadership, the leadership of our country, our region. Today, Lord, as we look at your word, we can see that the truth of your word recognizes not only everything that is beautiful and good, but you understand the trouble and the calamity and the difficult emotions that we have, at least from time to time. It is wonderful that you accept us just the way that we are. But you love us enough not to leave us just where we are. You want to move us forward in your plan. You want to transform us and sanctify us. And Lord, I ask that you would do that today. That once again, as we lift you up in worship, we ask, Holy Spirit, lift us up as well. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. I do believe that some people that I've run into, as they're receiving their vaccination shots, they're feeling a little stronger about moving about. We're still experiencing our protocols here, so we are masks and 6 feet apart. Yes, we're like you. We look forward to the day when we will no longer need to do that, but we will continue to practice that as is beneficial for us together as a whole. I have one announcement for you, and that is the auction is gaining momentum. The auction itself is going to be March 12th and 13th. It will be on campus for the most part. The things that are normally a part of the live auction, those will be virtual, and you'll have an opportunity to bid on the live auction items. So there's still a little suspense and going back and forth. It will just not be corporately, it will be virtually, but the goal is to supply the money that our students need so that they can do the work project that they're picking out here in SQIM, as well as at Black Lake, which is the summer camp, winter camp that we attend as a church. Today we're looking at really a most interesting passage of the Bible, Lamentations chapter 3. Nikki Compton James, who is our elder to youth ministry, will be reading our passage.
Good morning, SEC family. Today's scripture reading is from Lamentations 3, verses 1 through 10, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. I am the one who has seen the afflictions that come from the rod of the Lord's anger. He has led me into darkness, shutting out all light. He has turned his hand against me, again and again, all day long. He has made my skin and flesh grow old. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and surrounded me with anguish and distress. He has buried me in a dark place like those long dead. He has walled me in and I cannot escape. He has bound me in heavy chains. And though I cry and shout, he has shut out my prayers. He has blocked my way with a high stone wall. He has made my road crooked. He has hidden like a bear or a lion, waiting to attack me.
So what do we do when our world is falling apart and flying apart? We've experienced that in life, and as we've talked the last several weeks, we realize that just because we're a Christian, it doesn't mean that the difficult and tough things of life will pass us completely by. We can be a faithful follower of Jesus and stuff happens. Bad stuff happens, difficult stuff happens, original sin stuff happens. It runs the gamut what makes you feel as though your world is crumbling. A bad report from the doctor, finding out that you no longer have a job, finding out that your business partner has stolen from you, something bad happening to one of your children, the death of a loved one, having to live almost an entire year away from people that you love, 6 feet apart with masks on. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of it. The great thing about our God is He wants to hear us even when we are filled with complaint. Even when we feel bad, even when we feel hopeless, even when we feel, gee, we're not sure how we're going to make it. And now I'm not even talking about make it to next year. I'm talking about making it to tomorrow. This too is a part of original sin. Lamentations 3. Jeremiah wrote two books of the Bible. Jeremiah, which you know, the prophetic book. And then the book of Lamentations. And usually we skim through Lamentations pretty quickly. Why? It just seems like there's not a lot of positive, hopeful rhetoric, poetry in this book. Yet I believe that Jeremiah does an excellent job of identifying with the human condition, with the reality that, yes, life becomes difficult. And even in our difficult feelings and emotions, we learn that we are to unload those emotions, express those emotions to God. And He does not turn away from us. I am the one, Jeremiah says, that has seen affliction that comes from the rod of the Lord's anger. He has led me into darkness. He has made my skin and flesh grow old and broken my bones. I can relate. He has surrounded me with anguish and disaster. He has buried me in a dark place like those who were long dead. He has walled me in and bound me in heavy chains. I cry out and shout. He has shut out my prayers. He has blocked my way. He has made my road crooked. I've prayed these realities. I've heard others pray these realities. A lament simply means a complaint. And ultimately, we're taken aback, we're upset, we're pulled down by a circumstance or a relationship around us that's flying apart, falling apart. And where do we go to express those difficult emotions? Well, we proclaim our complaint to God. We should tell God exactly how we feel. I'm tired of this. I don't think I can make it. I am discouraged. I am depressed. I am in pain. I am suffering. Now, if you grew up like I did, you don't think God really wants to hear any of that. I mean, God is Almighty God. You don't want to make Him mad. But see, we've been created in His image. He understands us. And He understands that He desires to be a God that is for us when everything seems to be against us. He wants to give us hope when we feel hopeless that things will get better. And so I want to encourage us today, you lament to God. You complain to God. You walk up and down if you need to, and you can raise your hands and you can even raise your voice and shake your fist at God and say, God, why me? Why this? Why right now? And I know all of us have felt that way. And it's a little surprising to hear that God wants to listen to those prayers, to care about those prayers, but He does. Jeremiah goes on, peace has been stripped away. I have forgotten what prosperity is, what it feels like. My splendor is gone. Everything I have hoped for from the Lord is lost. Now, it's surprising to believe that God wants to hear it. And here's a biblical reality as well as a psychological reality. If you don't get it out and you don't express it to someone else, it's going to go on the inside, down deep. And it will eventually hurt you, create stress in you, anxiety in you, depression in you. Now, there aren't very many people around us who want to hear us complaining and lamenting. In fact, we complain, at least I have discovered, I complain and lament better to other people after I've complained and lamented to God. Because in doing so, it's good for me. I have these emotions, why deny them? Why, when I feel this way, do I feel as though I can't bring my whole self to God? My desperation, my need. Well, Jeremiah reminds us that we should give it to God. In fact, if we don't give it to God, what will happen is that we'll internalize that, and it will show up some other time or place in our life, and usually that's destructive, hurtful, not helpful to us. The second thing we learn here is we need to remind ourselves that God loves us in the midst of whatever we're facing. That he doesn't stop loving us when difficult things happen to us. When our world is flying apart, God's will is still enacted. Still enacted. He still loves us even though we don't even like the circumstances we find ourselves in. And we have to choose to love God. Not get overly focused on our pain or our problem or our pressure. But we look to God, and we look to God, to his love. Jeremiah goes on, "My suffering is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve my loss." The truth is we never finally, ultimately forgive and forget our loss till we get to heaven. It's always in the back of our mind, and it's good that we can compartmentalize it. And the process of grief and loss is very helpful to us. And isn't it interesting, even secular psychologists have said that there is a point in grief and loss where we want to raise our fist to God and say, "This is so unfair." This is so hard. Why them? Why me? God is listening because he loves us. He understands that in our loss, we need his love more than we've ever needed it before. When our world is falling apart, we feel so much like Jeremiah. But God is listening. God is open to our hearing our negative emotions. He goes on in 3:33 and then verses 25 and 26. "But his love for us is sure and strong." Now he's gotten the bad out, you notice. And now he can start identifying reality. settling in on the fact that even though this bad thing has happened, my world is falling apart. God is there and God will help me reconstruct my life. Lead me in a positive way. And when we get the bad out, then we can get the good in. I was a lifeguard and swim instructor. It's an old adage, right? When you have someone that you need to do mouth-to-mouth with, you got to get the old out so you can get the new in. Bad air out, good air in. I think that's true with our lives. When we stop up the bad feelings in our life, we automatically stop up the good feelings in our life. You want to dam up your emotions because you feel like you've been damned? Well, if you dam up the bad emotions, then you're damming up the good emotions because they travel on the same path. And so we get it out to God so that we can then hear the good, feel the love of God. But if we won't acknowledge our real emotion, then how are we going to experience this real emotion of the love of God? If we become so focused on the past, and we allow that to bind us up, then God cannot speak into our life. The hopeful, the unconditional. The Lord is good to everyone who trusts Him. So His best to wait for Him to save us. We have to wait for Him to save us. And it's true, sometimes life is a waiting game. I'm with you right now, it's not grand, it's not wonderful. Things happen in life where in this moment it's not good. And we're grieved, we're held back, we're pulled down, we feel in bondage. And as we try to free ourselves from that, then we have to wait for the hope to come. We have to wait for our loss to be grieved, for the next opportunity, for the next prayer. When life is heavy and hard to take, go off by yourself. Enter the silence, bow in prayer. Don't ask questions. Wait for hope of the Lord to appear. See, we have to wait for the hope of the Lord to appear. And what I've discovered in life is my life is falling apart or is getting derailed. Things are not good and not right. It's easy to be depressed and stressed and caught up in our pain and our suffering and our loss. But as we express that, we find ourselves clinging to the hope that comes in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. For God's unconditional love to surround us and give us a sense of peace about what has gone on, a sense of confidence, a sense of hope. And our job is to wait and notice what Jeremiah says. Don't just wait around, wait in prayer. Go off and be silent and listen to God. Ask God to help you grieve the pain that you're feeling. Ask God to give you a sense of confidence in the future because you've lost your confidence. And the reality is sometimes we only have to wait a moment. Other times we have to wait a long time. And the truth of the scriptures are real. Sometimes we have to wait till we get to heaven. Yet realize all the time God loves you, loves me, loves us. When our world is falling apart, all we can do is change what we can change. And you know, the rest is really up to God. And let me say this very, very clearly. There's only so much you can change. And I don't care how capable you are, how smart you are, what kind of resources you have at your fingertips. There's only so much you can change. And you know, you ought to change everything you can change for the good. But you also have to realize that you can't change everything, and clearly you can't change another person. You can't change another person. You can pray for them. You can desire to influence them in a positive way, but the truth is only God can change another person. So we do what we can do, and we offer the rest up to God. Let us test and examine our ways. Let us turn back to the Lord. Now, the turning back is the turning back to the idea of when was the last time you really felt the presence and the peace of God. We turn back to God so that we can turn forward in hope and a future. Now, here's the truth. I think we get stuck in the past when our life flies apart. And here's why we're stuck on the past. We're scared to death about the future. If this has happened to me, what else could happen to me up ahead? If this is the way it is, it could get worse just as easily as get better. Now, ultimately, that's why God has promised us heaven. Because whatever doesn't go right in this world, God will make it up to us. The truth is we do not have to fear the future. We do not have to fear because our life has been defeated in one specific way that we're completely defeated. Just because we've experienced one loss doesn't mean that we're going to experience a whole bunch of losses. It doesn't mean because our bank account has gone to zero that we'll never have any money again. Or when we've gotten a bad report from the doctor that doesn't mean we're going to die tomorrow. But we're all going to die. It is a requirement to get from here to heaven at this point that you do die. Short of the Lord coming back, we wouldn't really recognize him now. He'd have a mask on, I think. I have to make you laugh a little. It's a serious subject. It's a serious reality. Our problem is when our world flies apart and we lose a sense of our of our trust and confidence in God, because somehow we think he doesn't love us anymore, we become very fear-oriented. We fear the future. We don't anticipate it. We're reluctant to get out of bed, to try again, to seek so that we will find, because we're afraid of what we will find. And so we need to ask God to help us with our fear. Verse 57. Yes, you came when I called. You told me, do not fear. Do not fear. Now, it's taken him a few verses, but notice that Jeremiah has gone from complaining and lamenting to now a sense of hope in God. A realization that I don't have to fear the future, even though I don't know the future, and the reason being we know who holds our future. And despite all the difficulties and even all the death, we worship a God of resurrection. We're in a relationship with a God who walks with us through the valleys of the shadows of death. And what's he say? What does David say? Fear no evil. We're not at our best when we're fearful of the future. We're at our best when we're hopeful about the future. And in general, that's the way that God has wired us. We need to look to God, to Jesus. And when our world is flying apart, we have to ask him to restore us. Ask him to help us. Verse 21, this is from Lamentations 5. Restore us, O Lord, and bring us back to you again. Give us back the joy we once had. See, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Today, if you've been feeling, wow, you know, my world is falling apart, flying apart. I'm just tired. I'm not very hopeful. Well, that's the time to ask God to bring joy back into your life. And I know in loss, I know in bad news, I know in difficulty and tragedy, it's hard to find joy. But we need to look around, feel around for joy. And as we complain to God, he replaces that complaint with a declaration that you will find joy once again, because his love brings us joy. And that joy is the hope. The hope of every day, the hope of our life, the hope of our death and resurrection. He can restore you. He can repair you. He can give you a hope and a future. He wants to lead us along his path. And when we're on his path, we can hold up, hold together, even when we feel as though we're flying apart. Choose to remember that God loves you. Choose to remember that God has a future for you. Choose to remember that God makes promises to us, 357 promises, and he will bring them all to be true in your life and my life. Let's pray together. Jesus, I pray for those who are really in the midst of the crucible of life. It's easy when life is easy, but it is very hard and difficult when life is unfair, when we get bad news, a tragedy happens, a loved one dies. We're thankful that you're a God who hears us when we cry out to you. And I'm thankful, Lord, that in our crying out to you, you call to us, call us back to yourself. You allow us to look forward. You give us a hope that one day we'll feel joy again. Lord, in each and every day, help us to do our very best in loving you and loving those around us, despite our circumstances and our situations. We are thankful that you're a God of love and mercy, grace, and joy. And we pray in your name. Amen.
Jesus, we just thank you. Thank you that you are a good, good Father. And because of your unfailing love for us, we don't have to walk and live in fear. So we just look to you in hope today. And we say thank you for loving us in such a deep and incredible way. We bless your name, Lord. We give you all honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for joining us this morning, everyone. May God bless you as you walk in hope and